Amen. Thank you for that song, ladies. What a blessing. Listen, God has a purpose in everything. And even just the song that we've heard goes right along with the message today. These ladies had no idea what I'm preaching. I had no idea what they were singing. But it's amazing how God takes beautiful music, He meshes them together with the Word of God to lay this out on a platter before you to say, what are you going to do with it? And take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 here in just a moment. Luke chapter 5. And again, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 here in just a moment. Pastor asked me several weeks ago to preach. And I'm grateful every time I have the opportunity and privilege to preach, whether it be in here, whether it be in a Bible club in our schools, junior church, and in our teen Pathfinders class, whatever the case might be. But I was praying specifically that God would show me what to preach today. And that's not an easy thing. I was reading my devotions a few days ago out of Psalm chapter 37, and God started showing me things about committing your ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts should be established, and how God gives us the desires of our heart as long as we're following His will for our life and trusting in Him, and a number of things throughout that passage. So I started to develop a message through that particular passage, and again, God used it tremendously in my life, but it's almost as if God threw the brakes on and said, no, that's not what I want you to preach. Even prior to that, I had planned to preach this message. This is our theme for our youth department this year. Our theme for this year is Launch Out into the Deep. That's not the title of my message today, but that is, again, the theme for our youth ministry this year. Our teenagers, I preached this message, part of it, Sunday night. But we look at this story in Luke chapter number 5, and we see one of the amazing miracles of Jesus. I love studying the miracles of Jesus, how you take an ordinary situation, Christ steps on the scene and makes it an extraordinary situation. How God uses just ordinary, everyday people to do great things. And church family, as I stand before you today, before we even jump into the message, let's all determine to be obedient to God's will. Just as the song said, if we're obeying Him, He's going to bless us. He's going to give us grace to help us through difficult trials in life. May we all follow God's will continually. By the way, there's never a point in this earth where we arrive at a point where we stop obeying God's will. It's a constant progression, not a degression. Far too many Christians today are taking steps down instead of steps up and steps forward. God's been burning my heart lately, especially with the teenagers, but to help people to get to the next step in their life. And I want God to help me to take the next steps in my life. And that's not always an easy thing, but when we're obeying His will, God is always advancing. Just like Brother Terrell said the other night, may all of us continually advance with the Lord and continually seek His will for our life. Along with that thought of taking steps in life, before we get into the message, again, it's not easy to take steps forward, especially to take steps up. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team, I was on the football team, and our coach would often take us over to the Germantown Dam. I grew up in Farmersville, Ohio, right next to Germantown, Ohio, both of those towns right in the middle of a cornfield, okay? The Germantown Dam was not too far from my house, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes, but coach would often take us there, our football coach specifically, and there were 118 stairs at the Germantown Dam. Okay, not exactly my idea of having a good time, okay? I don't like to exercise, you can tell by looking at me, okay? But this is something we had to do. And we know this was going to help to make us better. When you first start off on those 118 stairs, the first few stairs are easy. And whoever designed these things were crazy because they made them just deep enough that you had to take about 2 steps on each stair and then keep advancing out and up. This was not easy, especially you get to about 75, you get to about 80, and your legs start burning, and you feel like you just want to give up. But you know, if you keep taking those next steps, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt a lot. You're going to be sweating a lot. But you know it's going to help you in the long run. When you get to the top of those stairs, you feel like you've conquered the biggest giant you could ever face, and then the coach says, okay, it's time to do it again. But again, knowing, hey, this is helping me. And listen, church family, may we always, again, take steps toward the Lord, realizing that, hey, there's difficult times we go through. Those steps are not easy, but it'll help us tremendously. May we constantly be advancing with the Lord. May we constantly be growing closer to Him. Again, I'd like to draw your attention to Luke chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The story of the draft of fishes. A story that you've probably heard hundreds, if not thousands of times. Matter of fact, a few years ago I preached this story, and I believe it was an evening service. But again, God kept drawing me back to this particular passage to say, this is what you need to preach. This is what you need to preach. I actually had two sermons prepared on this particular passage, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say? I have no clue what you want. Pastor sent me a text message this morning. Again, thankful for our pastor, thankful for the love he has for this flock. The many times that pastors went out of his way for my family and for your family as well. I hope you pray for him every single day. Pray for him as he's down in Florida. Each night this week, pray that God would bless him in a mighty way. Pastor sent me a message this morning and said, hey, I'm praying for you. We've been praying for him as well. But he said, praying for you, and he sent me a Bible verse, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 20, I believe it was. Basically says this, it's not me, it's all that the Lord can do through us. It's not people hearing my voice, it's hearing the voice of God through me. So may all of us continually be messengers of Jesus Christ. Again, thankful for our pastor, and I hope you'll pray for him. Luke chapter number 5, let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. To be honest with you, I don't think there's one specific title I have for you today. Even as far as an outline, I've got an outline right here in front of me, but I'm probably going to give that to you first and then go through each individual verse and just kind of explain what's going on here. Kind of go, come with me in your mind's eye and see what Jesus is doing this day. But if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to underline several things given within this chapter. Each of these could easily be a title. Each of these could easily be a message in themselves. The first thing, again, if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, verse number 3, the Bible says, thrust out a little. Thrust out a little. I've got that phrase underlined in my Bible. The next thing I'd like for you to underline, or if you're taking notes to write this thing down, verse number 4, launch out into the deep. Thrust out a little, launch out into the deep. Take a look at verse number 5. The Bible says at the end of this particular verse, at thy word, I will. At thy word, I will. Jump down to verse number 10. The Bible says, fear not, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Fear not, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Verse number 10. And the last of the things I'd like for you to underline in verse number 11, the Bible says, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. As far as introductory thoughts to this particular passage, this same miracle can also be seen in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. But the account given here in Luke chapter number 5 is the most detailed account. This is the one that goes into depth a little bit more. You see a little bit more details given about this particular story. So for detail's sake, we're going to kind of step through this passage. As far as an outline, if you're taking notes, the first thing we'll take a look at here in just a minute is the multitude. We see those people mentioned in verses 1 through 3. And even in chapter 4, we see a multitude of people that have gathered around Jesus to hear him as he's preaching the word of God. Point number 2, as far as outline is concerned, is the men who had gathered around him, the men who he chose to be his disciples. We see those men mentioned all throughout this passage in verses 2 through 11, specifically Simon Peter, James, and John. The third point we see, as far as an outline is concerned, is the Master. And Jesus Christ, if you look at scriptures, if you look at every single chapter in the Bible, I heard somebody say it like this: the scarlet cord of redemption is woven throughout the words of Scripture. Jesus Christ is part of every single part of Scripture. And here specifically, obviously in verses 1 through 11, Christ is emphasized here. He is the main character. He is where our attention should be directed. So we see, again, the multitude. We see the men. We see the Master. The fourth point we have is the miracle, which is given in verses 6 through 7. The last thing we see in verses 10 through 11 is the mandate or the command given by Christ to the disciples. Let's take a look in verse number 1. Again, I'd like to kind of walk through each verse and kind of explain what's going on here, and may God speak to our hearts. Again, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." There's a multitude of people that have gathered here this particular day to hear Jesus Christ speak, to hear him preach, to hear him give the word of God, to hear the very word of God himself proclaim God's word to these particular people. Well, what kind of people have gathered there? Look back in chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 40, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands everyone on them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them." This group of people, this multitude of people, we don't know how many are gathered here on this particular day, but we know any time Christ was around, there was a lot of people there. You look at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. That was 5,000 men plus women and children to receive food that day, but more importantly, to receive the words of God. You look at the story of Zacchaeus, how Zacchaeus was climbing up in a sycamore tree to be able to see Jesus. That tells you there's a lot of people there. You look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood and many other stories all throughout the Bible where a multitude of people gathered to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what's happened here. These people, these are not the quote-unquote cream of the crop, per se. You've got people with diseases. You've got people that have demons in them that have been cast out. Christ is catering to the multitude, and this particular multitude are a group of needy, needy people. And every single one of us could be included in that particular group. We are all needy. We need God's word. We need the power of God's word to work in our hearts. And that is the only thing that can truly work in our hearts is the word of God. And may God help us to spend time in his word every single day. So we see the multitude. The Bible says they began to press upon him. Okay? Just imagine you've got possibly thousands of people around. They're trying to get closer and closer and closer. They don't have a jumbotron to be able to see him up on a screen. They don't have a sound system per se to be able to for every single person to be able to hear Christ. So they're trying to get closer and closer and closer to him so they can at least see him and hopefully even hear him. So again, the Bible says they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the Lake of Gennesaret, okay? The Lake of Gennesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. So Christ is standing basically near the seashore, speaking to this multitude of people. They keep pressing and pressing and pressing, and he decides to do something. We take a look in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." The specific situation that he was in prior to getting into the ship was not exactly the best teaching situation, okay? Again, if you're standing eye level with other people and you're trying to teach them and people behind them, it's not exactly the best type of teaching situation. So Christ decides, he said, "Hey, Simon, this is your boat here. This is your fishing boat. I want you to get in this boat and let's thrust out a little bit from the land. Thrust out a little bit from the land so I can continue teaching this multitude of people." Now, even that, if you really think about it, wasn't exactly the most ideal teaching situation. But here's the thing. I don't believe it was Christ's desire necessarily for them to hear him, but for the people to see him, to see what he was about to do. And we as Christians, we need to turn people to Jesus Christ, obviously to hear his word, but to see what he can do in and through their lives. So he got to the point, again, he's sitting in the ship. This is not some big fancy boat. This is not some yacht. This is a fishing boat, okay? It probably smelled bad, all right? It probably wasn't the greatest thing to look at, but Christ is sitting there with Simon, and he says, "Simon, I want you to thrust out a little from the land." This is the first of the tests that Simon is presented with in this particular chapter. This is the first test of faith in this particular chapter. Christ is sitting there next to Simon Peter. They've thrust out a little bit from the land, and he continues teaching the people. The Bible says he sat down in the boat, and he's teaching the people from that particular ship. All right? This is the multitude. We see a multitude of people that have gathered for the teaching, for the preaching of Jesus Christ. Take a look again specifically in verse number 2. The Bible says the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Okay, let's back up a little bit from where we were. So before Christ got into the boat, he realized there were two boats sitting there empty. The fishermen were washing their nets. Okay, you typically don't wash your nets if you're getting ready to go fishing. That's typically after a day of fishing. Okay, the nets that the men would use on the Sea of Galilee were typically a bell-shaped or even a circular-type net. They would have weights all around the outside of them, so when they take that net, they'd cast it out into the water. It would basically hit the water flat. Those weights would start to settle down the water. Coming over top of the fish, there would be a string around the outside of that net to be able to draw it in as far as to be able to catch the fish. Okay, this is something they did day in and day out. They knew exactly what they were doing. These men were fishermen by trade. At this particular point, they had been fishing all night long, and they caught nothing. So, in order to get ready for the next day, I'm sure they're discouraged a little bit. I'm sure they had been a little bit frustrated from not catching much fishing. None of us like to go fishing and come back with nothing. Okay, my family and I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago. We went on vacation. I just went over to Cherokee Lake and just had a great time. I had in my mind, I'm going to take my son out fishing. I'm looking forward to taking my son out fishing. He's never been fishing before. I'm going to take him fishing, and he's going to be proud of his daddy. Because his dad, even though he hadn't done it a whole lot, is going to catch a big fish. I just had this dream in my mind that I'm going to pull in this fish, and Carter's going to have to help me pull it in and all this kind of stuff. And that didn't happen. The fish that we caught, we eventually, after a couple days of fishing or attempting to fish, after trying every single thing in my tackle box and trying different ways of fishing and all this kind of stuff, this is really funny. The first time we went out, we're sitting there on the boat, and Carter's got his life jacket on and all this kind of stuff, and he's excited. He's ready to see a fish, and I said, okay, we need to be really quiet, okay? Don't want to make a whole lot of noise because that'll scare the fish away. He said, okay. And he walks over and pushes the horn on the boat. Said, son, you're not getting it, okay? Didn't catch anything on the boat, nothing at all. Next day, I'm fishing off the dock and end up catching something about that big. Several little bluegill. He was tickled to death. He was tickled to death. He got to touch the tail of the fish and all this kind of stuff. These men were professional fishermen. I am not. I don't have the patience for it, okay? I would rather jump into the water rather than pull something out of the water most of the time, okay? These men knew what they were doing. They fished all night long. They caught nothing at all. Okay, that's frustrating if you're fishing for 30 minutes and don't catch anything. But if this is your job, if this is how you pay your bills, if this is how you feed your family, you want to catch something to be able to take it to market to sell it so you can pay your bills and all this kind of stuff. They caught nothing. So frustrated, tired. The Bible says they've been toiling all night. They've been laboring all night. They're cleaning their nets, getting ready for the next day. Again, making sure that spots of the nets that have been snagged on something, making sure those are repaired, making sure sticks and stuff are taken out of those nets, making sure they're completely ready for the next day. Again, let's fast forward a little bit. Christ is in the boat. He says, Simon, I want you to get into the boat. This is your boat. I want you to thrust out a little bit from the land. Again, this was the first test of faith that Simon is presented with. And may we stop here just as far as for application's sake. Think about this. So many times we expect God to do great and mighty things. We expect God to bring in this huge draft of fish. But most of us are never willing to simply thrust out a little bit from the land. You know what most of us do? Most of us say, okay, Lord, I'm going that way a little bit. Is this okay? No. He wants you to pull up anchor. He wants you to stop being comfortable on the beach. He wants you to get off the dock and thrust out just a little bit. At this point, Christ didn't say, hey, we're going out to the deep water. Hoist the sails. We're heading that way. No, he said thrust out a little bit. A little bit from the land. What are the little things that'll help us to thrust out a little bit from the land? Obviously, Bible reading is an extremely important thing, but oftentimes we see that as a little thing. Just for illustration's sake, Take your Bible reading. Are you thrusting out a little bit from the land in your Bible reading, your devotional life, your personal walk with God? And again, that's something that's continually advancing. Simon Peter here is asked to thrust out a little bit from the land. Christ continued to teach the people. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." The multitude of people who had gathered this day to hear Christ are now gone. They had went their separate ways, and now the teaching continues. And here, Christ isn't necessarily teaching as much as he is training, and there's a big difference. Far too many times we teach people, and teaching is needed, and it's very much necessary, but Christ has taken time to come along Simon Peter. He says, "Simon, I'm not going to teach you something. I want to train you. I want to show you what you need to do with your life. I want to explain to you how important it is to follow me." So again, the multitude is gone in verse number 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." That word draught means a drawing in. When Christ mentions that particular phrase here, he's giving Simon a promise. He's not saying, "Simon, launch out to the deep, let down your nets, and pull those empty nets back in." No. He said, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets, because we're going to catch something. Simon, this is going to be the best fishing trip you've ever been on. Simon, you have no clue what's about to happen." But first, he had to be obedient. Before Simon could have ever received the command or the mandate to launch out into the deep, he first had to thrust out a little bit from the land. And again, far too many times we get comfortable just staying on the beach. "Hey, look what that guy's doing. Man, he's winning souls for Christ. That's wonderful. Hey, look at their Sunday school class. Look at their bus route. Hey, good job." That's not what God wants us to do. We should be out there also. But first, letting go. Get out of your comfort zone a little bit. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm preaching to myself just as much as anyone in this room today. Thrust out a little bit from the land. Launch out into the deep. Now here's the thing. Christ said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft." He didn't say, "Simon, okay, we're going to launch out into the deep and just sit there." No. By the way, Simon could have done that. He could have launched out in the deep. They could have dropped their anchor right there, or whatever the case is. They could have been floating around right there and said, "Okay, Lord, I did what you said. I thrust out from the land. Okay, check that off the box. Lord, I did the second thing you said. I thrust out into the deep. I launched out. I did what you said. Check that off the box." If he would have stopped there, that wouldn't have been enough. Christ said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." Those nets that you've been cleaning, those nets that you've been throwing out all night long into the Sea of Galilee and have brought nothing else back in, those very same nets that you've probably made with your own hands, those very same nets that you've had to mend several times, I want you to take those nets after launching out to the deep, and I want you to throw them back into the water again and see what happens. Again, the third test of obedience. He already thrust out from the land. He's already launched out into the deep. And he's commanded, he's told, he's given this mandate to let down the nets. The Bible says again in verse number 5, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night." We've labored all night. We've been fishing all night. We are fishermen. We know what we're doing. We've toiled all night and have caught nothing. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, here's a key here. Here's an important phrase here. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will." You know, Pastor mentioned this a few weeks ago. This is his desire for our church. And may this be every single one of our desire for ourselves as individuals. Whatever God's word says, do it. Don't live like Jonah. God said, "Jonah, go." You know what Jonah said? "No." When God says go, don't say no. When God says stop, you better stop. When God says do this or this or this, we better do it exactly how he said. Just imagine when Simon was told to just thrust out from the land. He said, "Lord, I will, but I've been fishing all night. I'm tired. Let me run home, get a nap, and then I'll come back and do that. I'll take care of that later. No, we should do it immediately. When Christ said, Simon, I want you to launch out into the deep, he didn't say, Lord, you know, I need to wait a couple thousand years till I get this nice outboard motor and this nice fancy boat, and then I feel a little bit more safe, get some life jackets for everybody, make sure everybody's taken care of. I'll do that then. No, he was supposed to obey immediately, to let down the nets immediately, even though he was tired. He said, nevertheless, you're my master. Nevertheless, you are my Savior. Nevertheless, you are my Creator. You are my God. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. I was talking to my wife the other night. Not just the other night, we talk all the time. thankful for my wife and just the love that God has given us, the wonderful friendship that God's given us. My wife is such a blessing to me. I hope you pray for them. My wife's not feeling well right now. Paxton's not feeling well right now. So please pray that they get better soon. But my wife and I were talking the other night, and I told her, I said, honey, as I'm looking at this passage, I want to live it as well. Not just to say, hey, teenagers, you need to launch out into the deep. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we need to launch out into the deep. Bob, man, you need to launch out into the deep. Because you know what I've done so many times? I've held on to the shore. I've held on to the dock and say, no, I don't know. That faith thing, that's kind of, that's hard. And it is hard. It's not easy. If it were easy, everybody would do it. I need to live this just as much as all of us. I want to launch out to the deep. If God shows me something to do, by God's grace, I want to do it to the best of my ability. If God shows my family something to do, I want to take my family and do it exactly how God wants me to do it. Peter is living a life of obedience at this particular time. I've repeated this several times, but again, he's already thrust out from the land. He's launched out into the deep, and he says, Lord, I'll do it. I will let down the net. Verse number 6, here's where it gets exciting. And when they had this done, when Peter had obeyed Christ, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. Now, can you think about that? Go with me in your mind's eye and imagine everything that's going on here. These guys are tired. By the way, they had fished all night long, the Bible says. On the Sea of Galilee, even still today, they say the best fishing time is during the night. Obviously, you can fish during the daytime, but if you're going to fish during the daytime, you definitely don't launch out into the deep during the day, even still today. Christ had Peter right where he wanted him. He's a fisherman by trade. He knows what he's doing. But he's taken every single thing about his knowledge about fishing and kind of changing it a little bit. Again, all these things are a test of faith. Peter might have been thinking even in his mind, it's daytime. You don't fish on the Sea of Galilee during the daytime. But he never doubted Christ. He did exactly what he told him. And as soon as he was obedient to him, verse number 6, the Bible says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards obedience. We sing a song often in junior church and in Vacation Bible School, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. That's where we struggle sometimes. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. You know, a lot of times we sing that with kids in our Sunday school class. We sing that with kids on our bus, but a lot of times we're not living it as adults. Peter was obedient. He was showing that he believed Christ. He was expressing his faith in God, and God blessed him for it with a great multitude of fishes. The Bible goes on to say here, not only did they have one net full of fish, they're bringing these nets in, their nets are starting to break. They're pulling these fish in and trying to grab different spots in the net so they don't lose any fish. Their boat is full, and they have to get to the point where they called another boat, hey, we need some help! We've got too many fish! If it were most of us, it would probably be, what are you doing? I'm not catching anything. Okay? They had a great multitude of fish here. Two boatfuls. Moving on, verse number 7. The Bible says, and they beckoned unto their partners. We've already went over this, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. After Simon saw all these fish, he didn't say, Woohoo, this is great. He was humbled. Standing before the definition of truth himself, Jesus Christ, standing before his God, his master, his creator, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me. He didn't mean this in a bad way. He said, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to be in your presence. Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to have this great multitude of fish. I don't deserve for this miracle to have taken place in my life. He fell down at Jesus' knees. The Bible says that the rest of the men also were humbled. Verse number 9, And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. As Peter has stepped into this classroom today, he learned many lessons. Again, he's a fisherman by trade. He knows how to fish. The Lord used fishing, what he knew best, to teach him a lesson. Now it's interesting, again, Christ at this point is calling fishermen. These are hard workers. These are patient men. These are men who are willing to make sacrifices in order to provide for their families and stuff. He's calling them at this particular time to be his disciples. And Christ says specifically to them, he says, Peter, from this point on, forget about fishing for fish. He says, from henceforth, I want you to fish for men. Peter, there's men and women all around this world who are lost and dying and on their way to hell. Peter, there's people in your neighborhood, there's other fishermen who need to hear about the gospel. Peter, instead of taking that net with the weights around it that you've made and throwing that out, you throw out the gospel. Give the gospel to as many people as you possibly can. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Take a look at verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, as this message is coming to a close, as we kind of wrap up things, as we kind of tie things up, may God help us to, every single one of us, to apply this to our life. May we see what's going on here, but not just to see, hey, that's a great story. Not just to see, hey, that was great what Jesus did that day. No, may we take this and apply it to our life. Here in verse number 11, again, Christ says, the Bible says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Did Jesus do a great miracle this day? Absolutely. Did Jesus bless their obedience? Absolutely. You know what they could have easily done? They could have easily gotten back to the shore. They could have taken their two boatfuls of fish. They could have sold them at market and given God all the glory for it. But that was not Christ's plan in this passage. That was not the plan for their lives. Christ said, okay, here's the main test. You thrust out a little bit from the land. You did a good job on that. You launched out into the deep. Peter, you did an outstanding job with that. Peter, you even took your net, just like I told you. You threw it into the boat, into the sea. You brought in this draft of fish. You got that checked off the list. You did a great job. But here's the main thing. I want you to fish for men. I want you to follow me completely with your life. And Peter, along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, did exactly that. They got back to shore, two boatfuls of fish, and it's almost as if Christ said, hey, you see those fish over there? Don't worry about them. Those two boats over there that are yours that you've paid a lot of money for or you've taken lots of hours to build them, don't worry about them. Those nets that you're constantly cleaning and mending and all this kind of stuff, don't worry about them. He says, men, follow me. Follow me. Question, what has God spoken to you about today? What is God's will for your life right now? No matter what age, maybe you're sitting here today and you're a child or a teenager. Maybe you're up in years and you feel like, hey, what can I do? We can all follow God's will for our life. every single one of us have a will for our lives, certain things that God wants us to do, certain things that God wants us not to do. Church family, may I encourage you with this. The most important thing, are you a child of God? Ladies and gentlemen, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? That's the most important thing. Peter knew Jesus. John, James, they knew Jesus. They became his disciples. Are you truly a child of God? If the worst thing happened to you today, if you were to go out into eternity right now, is heaven your home? If not, we'd love to show you from the Bible how to be saved. Christian, what step do you need to take in your life? What steps do we need to take toward the Lord in each and every one of our lives? Maybe you're standing at the shore and saying, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But here's the thing. May I draw your attention to this? When the Lord said, Peter, I want you to thrust out a little bit from the land. Who was in the boat with Peter? Jesus. When the Lord said, Peter, launch out into the deep. Who was with him in the boat? Jesus. When the Lord said, Peter, I want you to let down your nets for a draught of fish. Who was right there beside him? Jesus. And Jesus, just as he called Peter, James, and John on the Sea of Galilee that day, is calling each and every one of us as Christians to follow him, to give our lives completely to him. Again, there's different situations represented here. All of us have a different step to take in life. Maybe your step is being more faithful in Bible reading. Maybe your step is being a better witness. Again, taking those steps is not easy, but the more you do it, it makes it easier. The more we ran those steps at the Germantown Dam, those 118 stairs, the first time it was tough. But the more we did it, the more strength we gained. It became not easy, but easier. What's your next step? Maybe say, Brother Bob, I've already launched out. I've already thrust out from the land. Great. There's a lot more water. There's a lot more fish that need drawn in. Maybe your next step is simply is launching out into the deep. And again, that's not an easy thing. Not knowing how much water is beneath you, not knowing what danger could possibly be right around the corner, but rest assured, church family, just the very same Jesus that was with Simon Peter has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. The very same Jesus has promised to provide your every need. He will provide every single thing you need as long as we're being obedient to him. They forsook all. They followed him. Let's not start tomorrow. Let's start today. Men, ladies, let's follow Jesus. I'd like for you to bow your head and close your eyes at this time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The pianist is on their way. We'll have a song here in just a minute. I'll be honest with you. God has used this passage, not just today, not just this week, but a number of times throughout my life, to show me what I need to do. And it all boils down to this. Be obedient. Be faithful. And my youth pastor used to say often, we're responsible for the effort. God will take care of the results. Listen, church member, if you're being faithful, yeah, there's going to be discouraging times. There's going to be times where you feel like the world's against you, and they are because they're against Christ. Don't give up. Don't say, no, I'm not going to thrust out a little from the land. May we all be like Peter. Be obedient. Thrust out a little. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draft. And expect God to do great things. Like I said, the main thing, the most important thing, as the pianist begins to play, are you a child of God? Can you look at a point in your life where you can say, I have truly accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm trusting in Him and Him alone to get me to heaven. It's not a matter of what we can do, but it's what Jesus Christ has done for us. Have you received the gift of salvation? Are you a Christian? Are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven someday? If you can honestly say that, I'd like for you to lift your hand at this time, please. You say, I know for sure I'm a Christian. If I died today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Thank you. I appreciate that. You can put your hand down right there in your seat. Take a minute and say, God, thank you for saving me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of me. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to know for sure you're going to heaven. It's wonderful to be a Christian. Maybe you're sitting here today, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. What's the next step in your life? Maybe you've trusted Christ, but you've never been baptized. We'd love to show you how what baptism means and how you can take care of that. Maybe you've been baptized, you've never become a member of this church. Maybe you've become a member. Maybe there's another step you need to take, and I guarantee all of us have that next step to take. Maybe it's your devotional life. That's something we can all work on. Maybe it's our prayer life. Maybe it's our witnessing. Maybe it's an even bigger step. Hey, you know what? I feel God's working on my heart to work in the ministry. Maybe it's a matter of, hey, I'm praying about doing this in my business, and I just need God to give me wisdom. I'm going to launch out into the deep and ask God to close the door if He doesn't want me to do that. Teenager, maybe you're sitting here today and saying, you know what? I don't know what God wants me to do after I graduate high school, but I'm kind of feeling the Lord leading me to go maybe to a Bible college and to train to be a full-time servant of Christ in a church somewhere. Church family, let's all launch out to the deep and obey the Lord. Let's all stand at this time with your heads bowed and eyes closed. As Brother Daniel begins to sing, whatever God's spoken to you about, please come forward. We've got some workers here that would love to help you. If you're not saved, please come speak to them. They'd love to show you from the Bible how to be saved.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily
if you know the song, sing along with him.
I surrender.
Oh, do you truly mean that?
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
As he sings the next verse, there's still time. Maybe you'd like to come, get things settled with the Lord. Maybe you'd like to come and speak to somebody about how to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. This time is yours. No one else is looking around. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. If we can help you, please let us know.
At His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me.
Sing all together on the chorus.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Very good. Thank you. You may be seated just for a minute. We have a few that have come in from Junior Church, and we're so glad they're here today. Thankful for those who are working over in Junior Church, and Brother Mineta doing a tremendous job over there, faithfully preaching the Word of God to these children. And it's exciting to see children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have three today. As I call your name, if you wouldn't mind just to stand just for a minute there, and you can have a seat right back down. Are you a little bit nervous? A little bit. Okay. We have Desiree Walls, if you'll stand for us, please. Desiree. All right. Mrs. Stills will stand with you there. Desiree, so I have on the card here that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is that true? Yes? Great. She's nodding her head there a little bit shy. That's exciting. And we'll talk with you more. We'd like to get into your home. Thank you. You can have a seat there. I'd like to get in your home and talk to your parents about baptism and how to take the next step in your life. Next, we have Tia Lyons. Tia, if you'll stand. Great. And Tia, you are also accepting Jesus as your Savior. Is that right? Yeah. Great. So if you died today, where will you spend eternity? In heaven. Great. That's wonderful. We're thankful you're here. You may be seated. And also, Jaden Smith Peters. Jaden, if you'll stand. Jaden, have you made the same decision today? Are you accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Great, that's wonderful. You may be seated as well. Church folks, I hope you'll take time to come and greet these and make these kids feel welcome. And again, each and every child that trusts Christ as their Savior, Sunday school teachers will be getting into their home, speaking to their parents about being baptized, getting into our discipleship program. If you'd like to take part in that, please let us know. We'd love to get you plugged into one of these areas. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And again, make sure you come by the front. These young people will have to head out to their bus here in just a few minutes. But make sure you shake their hand and let them know how excited we are that they've trusted Christ as their Savior today. All right? Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Brother Joe Sherry, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please. Amen. Visitors, make sure you stop by the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. All men, 7th grade and up, stop by and pick up your tickets for the men's stakeout. Thank you. Amen.